Hey, hi, I'm Bonnie. Welcome to this podcast, Make Joy Normal, where we chat about homeschooling and family life. With my co-hosts, Elizabeth and Christina, we address your questions and topics in a way that can create more joy in our lives. Please submit any questions you have by email or voice message in the links in the show notes. If you found this episode valuable, please share it with a friend, like, or leave us a review. That's how we get the word out. Thanks for trying to make joy normal in your own life. Okay, just saying good afternoon to all my listeners, and I am just going to paint a little picture here for you. My son, Abel, who's giggling over there, is having a glass of wine with me. We're sitting in front of the fire. It's almost Christmas time. Abel has, for the last couple months, I asked him if he would be willing to record with me, and he said yes. So I'll explain why I want to do this. Can you say hi to the to my listeners, Abel?
Hello.
Abel is almost 21. He was homeschooled all the way through from kindergarten to graduation, and he graduated right at COVID. From there, he ended up sort of going to college during COVID and whatnot, so we'll get into that in a minute. What people really, really want to know, and I get asked all the time, is, okay, well, what's it like? What's it like when you have adult children? What do the kids turn out like? They want to know if you turn out normal. But they just want to know what the adjustment was like going from homeschooling to home, that the kids turned out to be happy, normal, productive people. Mm-hmm. And so I thought I chose the most happy, normal, productive one.
This is fun. This is like playing make-believe.
It's exactly
we're
like
talking, we're not talking to anyone there.
I know. We're just you and me. There's nobody there. So anyway, I had a few questions for you that are the kinds of questions that the people but listen to me ask.
Shout out to the fans.
Oh, your fans?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I know you guys have been waiting for this.
They have. Okay, so first of all, if you can, I mean, I already know where you're at in your life, but let's tell everybody else where you're at in your life. So you're 21 and what?
I am male, 6'2", 175 pounds.
This is not an infomercial.
I go to Trinity Western University. I'm in my fourth year in the media and communications program, and I'm graduating next semester.
Right. And so what did you do before that?
I transferred last year to Trinity, and then the first 2 years of my undergrad I spent at Our Lady Seat of Wisdom, which I'm sure you guys have probably heard my mom talk about.
Yeah, and most of my listeners are American, so yeah, I haven't mentioned it a couple times in podcasts, but it's a very small Canadian Catholic college. And all of our kids have gone there for at least a year or some mm-hmm. more. So your first 2 years were done there. So you transferred directly. Did you take a gap year?
No.
Okay. So you went straight from high school.
Yeah, I was 17 when I left. And then, it was 2020, right during COVID.
Right during COVID. And everything was shutting down. And that kind of played into your decision to go to Seat of Wisdom, right?
Because
they were still operating.
I wasn't originally going to go. And then some of my siblings kind of talked me into it. And then also it was one of the only, I think the only university in Canada that was open for in-person classes, at least some of the time. Like we ended up going online in my first year and in my second year at different times, but that was definitely a reason I went.
Yeah. From there, what was the adjustment like? This is a big question mark for a lot of parents because, okay, you were homeschooled all your life. You know, were you sheltered? Were you prepared? Did you feel like, what were the pros? What are the pros and cons? You went into college for the first time. You were 17. Did you feel prepared?
I mean, like, OLSWA, that's the acronym, by the way. I know it sounds weird. Is, like, most of the students are similar to me or, quote, unquote, more sheltered. Not that I was sheltered, really. But that adjustment was super easy. I think if I'd gone from being homeschooled straight into Trinity Western, it would have been a lot different.
Right.
Because Trinity's much bigger, and there's a lot of, like, non-Christians there, too.
Right.
And so the atmosphere is just different. But going to OLSWA was not that big of a shift, other than I wasn't living at home.
Right.
Like, everyone there had the same values, and
right.
were raised, like, most of my friends there were homeschooled.
Right. Throughout. So did that feel like a good decision to go somewhere small like that first to kind of step into that?
It did, but it was probably really good Catholic formation before going to Trinity.
Right.
It wasn't, I think it would have been fine going straight into Trinity. Public university definitely would have been a shock. Like, it would have been,
right.
It would have been a big adjustment.
Kind of thrown in the deep end.
Yeah, especially at 17. It was right out of high school.
And so then you did 2 years there. From that 2 years, what was the reason that you transferred to Trinity Western?
I transferred to Trinity because I just didn't want to spend another winter in Ontario. And
Trinity is not that far from us. It's on the West Coast. So no.
That was one the biggest thing, is being close to home. It was really a hard decision because I had a lot of good friends out there. I figured it would just be best for me. And then my older brother, Isaac, works at Trinity in admissions. And at the time, he kind of convinced me to transfer to Trinity. That was part of it for sure.
In terms of, okay, so there was sort of a social adjustment that it was relatively easy. What about the adjustment from going kind of from a very sort of organic learning environment, which we maintained, you know, most of our homeschooling years, going into sort of a much more formal structure of learning with tests and quizzes and projects and that kind of thing? Did you find that adjustment difficult?
The scariest thing, or the thing I didn't understand, I wasn't really scared about it, but it was just like, I don't know how this is going to look at all. And I never really talked about it because it was embarrassing, was I had no idea how to find, like, where my classes would be. Like, I knew they'd be in classrooms. I knew there were different classrooms, but I was like, how does everyone just know where they're different? Especially, also was super small, so I didn't think it would be a big deal.
Right.
But I was like, at public universities, how do people find where their classes are?
Which, like, is their kind classrooms. Of ridiculous. Yeah.
It's pretty easy to figure that out, but.
That's really interesting.
And then, yeah, coming to Trinity, that was, like, also a thing, sort of.
Right. One of your other siblings said that as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Am I the only one who's done one of these interviews?
Lydia has.
What?
Yeah, Lydia's done an interview.
Okay.
She because she created a beautiful thing, so I got her to show the beautiful thing.
But none of my
Lucy's interviewed with me right at the beginning.
What?
Yeah.
What did
it
she
was
have
like
to offer?
She just brought some questions.
That's not an interview.
I guess it's not an interview. Okay, so that adjustment wasn't terrible either, but you were concerned about where to find your classroom.
And then the actual academic structure.
Right.
That also was mostly essays and a lot of writing, so that was a pretty easy transition.
Okay.
And then, I don't know, it never bothered me with the quizzes and tests and stuff.
Yeah. Did you find that the writing... Like, we did Andrepoutawa all through school, and I would have co-ops, and I would teach a small group of kids how to write an essay, and we hammered out a lot of essays in the high school years. And you had to write essays for some of your classes that you took. Abel took some classes with Homeschool Connections.
Yeah.
And maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 classes with Homeschool Connections. First of all, do you feel like those classes helped you to kind of know what it was like to learn from somebody else who wasn't me?
Yeah, for sure. That was, I think, a good thing. I don't know what it would have been like going into also without having taken online classes in high school.
Right.
But it probably conditioned me to move into that more easily. About the writing and stuff, though, that Andrepoutawa definitely helped.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing that if you are homeschooling and you're putting your kids through high school... To learn about writing. I wish I'd learned more about stylistically, like different format options and then MLA and APA and that sort of thing. It's not hard to learn, but it'd just be, if that's something you can ingrain in your kids before they go off to university, that would be the most helpful. And then also, I think, I don't know much about Seton or like Seton Learning, but I know that the kids at Ulswa, like my friends who'd been through Seton in high school and done writing, were the best writers I knew.
Right. Yeah, their writing is very demanding and grueling. What I've known also about Seton, the people that I've known, about Seton itself, never done Seton, so I can't comment on that. But the kids who went through Seton pretty much hated it.
They did.
And so...
All I know is that,
But they came out good writers, yeah.
They would say they didn't enjoy it, but then they would get... 95s on all their essays and stuff like that. So
yeah, the writing is definitely grueling, but that's good. I mean, you learn something through that. You just have to be willing to approach, you know, your child hating it. It wasn't really where
I didn't hate
to
my
go.
Writing, so that was good.
Yeah, well, that's good. What you're referring to, I want to just backpedal a little bit to you saying, and I wish I had done this with all my kids. So just so everybody knows that when you talk about sort of formatting, like how to format properly, how to do footnotes. How I never learned that in high school, and it never occurred to me to teach that, because it was seemed like it was something people were learning in college and university. But now I wish I had at least spent the last year, because all my kids have said the same thing. We wish we had learned how to do footnotes, how to do Chicago Manual of Style, and the various options.
That being said, though, our writing, like I know my writing, just organically. From having like a well-rounded vocabulary and good spelling and that sort of thing is very coherent and clear.
Right.
And that was never an issue for me writing. Like I could get my point across and I could use clarifying language.
Right.
And that was also always a super big help. It was purely the stylistic of like literally citing your sources and formatting and that sort of thing.
Right.
That was an issue.
Okay.
But it wasn't, again, it wasn't like a huge thing.
Yeah, but I think it is something that I've advised parents now and would continue to advise is make sure your kids have an understanding of formatting, and because if they're really familiar with it, it's not going to seem hard to do it, right? But learning that, you know, in your first year of college or university is more challenging for sure.
I also want to clarify, though, that I'm in a program where I do a lot of writing still, and then also it's just very liberal arts based, and there's a ton of writing. If your kid is going into medicine or something like that, like obviously being a good writer is just a good thing, but I'm definitely a nuanced situation.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
I don't know. It's not always the most important thing.
Yeah. I think, I tend to think that it is. That's why it was matter.
But
to
I just mean I have to do a lot of writing in my program.
Yeah.
So that's something
and
I
don't
wish
find that
I'd
the
had.
hard thing to do. Yeah.
No.
Okay. So when you sort of at this point in your life, you're almost 21. When you look back on your homeschool experience, and you have friends now who went to public school, went to Christian schools, were homeschooled, all that variety of experiences, what do you feel like were the strengths and weaknesses of what you had, you know, kind of comparing both in your own experience, but also kind of comparing your experience with other people, right?
Overall, I would say just a well-rounded education, especially going to, like, I remember I sent you a text last year. Remember that?
Yeah.
I sent you and Dad a text.
I know, I screenshotted
it. It was like a paragraph long.
So good.
Because I had just kind of experienced, and this isn't meant to sound like condescending or patronizing or anything, but I just realized there are definitely areas in which I am not as knowledgeable as some of my peers, like in math and sciences and stuff. But that was also a me choice. Like I just wasn't as interested in high school. But overall, I'm just very grateful because homeschooling and reading as much as I did when I was younger provided me with just a very, very well-rounded kind of basic understanding of the world.
Right. History, geography.
But just things like people would say or peers would say that I would realize, like, wow, like you really have never thought about that before. This is something you've never encountered. I'm just appreciative of that.
Right.
But like again, there are also a lot of areas where I'm not as, I don't know, learned right. in. But yeah, just the well-roundedness of
it, right.
Education. And I think like reading when I was younger helped the most with that.
Yeah. Yeah, to be an avid reader really changes things, which of course is something we address all the time. So what do you feel like the biggest, look again, looking back on your life, Karen, compare your peers, what do you feel like the most significant weaknesses are, not just not academically, you know, we've already sort of talked about that, but more in your life, where do you feel like, okay, I wish I had more X experience?
I feel like anything I would say would not be an issue that you and Dad didn't deal with, or like something that was your fault.
Right.
Because like I would say like organized sports.
Right.
But that's because both the other boys were in soccer, and that was just something I didn't want to do.
Right.
I wanted to play other sports, and that's a whole different thing. But that's not your fault. That's my, like, I don't know, my...
No, and I'm not, like, don't worry about
naivety,
feeling like I'm going to feel bad. It's just, you know, you can just say what you want to say.
And then, again, like, math and sciences in high school, I was interested, I was also kind of lazy in high school, and I...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
And I... She does have an idea of what I'm talking about. And so I didn't really pursue that as much.
Right. You did what you had to do, but no
more. I'm not particular. Yeah. It's not like I wish I had... It's not like any career path I'd want now would have required me.
Right.
So, yeah, that's not something I look back with regret. Right. But, yeah, other than that, my social life is fine. I did play a lot of sports, so with our groups and stuff.
Yeah, sort of homeschool sports and stuff, yeah.
It's pretty fortunate.
Yeah, it was a good life.
She's holding a gun to my head.
I'm trying. He's a lot bigger than me, so it's tricky. It's tricky to threaten him.
Mm-hmm. She's a lot richer than me.
So one of the things I wanted to talk about was kind of self-learning, because I think that a lot of times when people ask these questions, and your child's primary educator, and your life is very organic and all of that. And we were definitely not unschoolers, but we had a very organic approach to things. But as the kids got into high school and they wanted to start having high school courses, they were pretty much on their own with that. That was something, I mean, I would help them with their study guides, or I'd help them with a quiz or a test or something. If they needed support, I would support them. But once you guys were into high school courses and choosing textbooks that you wanted to, I gave them a lot of choice, first of all. They were allowed to choose the science courses they wanted to have, or the textbooks if they had seen other people's or whatever. They were allowed to choose whatever they wanted. But you guys were very much self-learning, and I think that to me seems like a real leg up. You know, I don't know that everybody has that experience, where I think a lot of times in high school, when you're in a public high school, you're kind of being prodded all the time to get the things done. That certainly was my experience in school, that the kids who are not self-motivated are just being prodded along, get your X done, get your X done, get your X done. You're going to lose marks if you don't have it in by whatever. And it wasn't really like that. Do you feel like that played out well for you, or plays out well for you as an adult?
It does, in the sense that I think I'm pretty good at like problem solving on my own, just because I had to learn that. And I never really needed a tutor or anything in high school.
Yeah.
I would say, again, I was kind of lazy during high school, so I was able to just kind of do the bare minimum particularly, again, in maths and sciences. And that maybe would have been good for me to have a little more prodding.
Right.
But again, like, I can only say that from a theoretical perspective, because I really don't know.
Yeah.
And I think it did help with like my problem solving. If I'd had a tutor, maybe I would have learned more in those areas.
Right.
And like developed a passion for one of them or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know how that would have looked differently for my problem solving abilities, really.
Right.
Because that's what I think I gained from that.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's one of the disadvantages of being both kind of on the lazy side and also really academic, is that you don't actually have to work very hard to accomplish everything.
I don't identify as academic.
You don't identify
as identify academic? As an athlete. And
well, I see. That's it. I didn't know. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, that's why you should introduce me better.
So I'm just going to end off. This is going to be a short interview. So I'm just going to end off with this question. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Now, I want to just put this into perspective, because you're 21. You're about to graduate university. It's pretty young to be in this place. I think for a lot of young men, it would... The possibility of what you're going to do for the rest of your life, or what you're going to do for your career, or what you're going to do in your life at 21 would be an overwhelming question, right? So what do you sort of see yourself moving into, both professionally and personally? What do you see yourself doing at this point?
I would say, if I had to make an educated guess, I would say I'll be in either, this is very broad, well, these two categories are not very related, but I will be either in some sort of media career, doing maybe design or brand design or marketing or something along those lines.
Right.
Or I'll be in the trades. I'm not really sure how that's going to look. I just, That's a problem for future Able to figure out.
Right.
But I like to do that a lot. I like to put problems on my future self.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Because then you don't have to worry about it right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and he's just way better at something than me.
Okay, so future and, Able.
Yeah, future Able.
We'll think about that.
I don't wait. What was there more to the question other than where I will be?
Where do you sort of see yourself in 5 years?
Geographically, probably on Vancouver Island, maybe the Lower Mainland, because I have a lot of friends at Trinity,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, but hopefully the island. I like the island a lot,
mm-hmm.
and then spiritually, probably.
You think are you going to stay Catholic?
Yeah, I'll probably stay Catholic, and. And if I don't, then I'll become Lutheran.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I hear the Lutheran Church is very welcoming.
It's growing super fast. Yeah.
It's because of all the guitars, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. No, the Lutherans don't use guitars.
Don't they?
Yeah, I've been learning a lot about Lutherans lately, actually. But don't worry, I won't convert.
Okay.
I'll be a weird switch
I'm
up.
So glad to hear that.
What else is part of that question?
What else is part of that question? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? That's a good question. I hadn't really thought. I was thinking about it sort of more in the terms, but in a sense, like where you see yourself in 5 years, do you see yourself financially in 5 years?
Rich. No, I don't know. It's a hard question to answer because...
Like, is that part of the reason why you're considering trades? I guess that's...
No, part of the reason I'm considering trades is because I just want... Everything I'm doing in my program is not very hands-on. It's all very tech-oriented and that sort of stuff, which is good. And there's a lot of potential in that, but I want kind of a hands-on skill.
Right.
And the trades are bumping right now. So.
Yeah, for sure. And also, do you think, could you see yourself doing tech for a few years and then going for a trade?
Well, it's not really tech exactly. I just meant it's not like a hands-on skill
right.
that I could...
It's not even
apply
real.
To.
Honestly, it's not even real.
Yeah, it's fake. It's cryptocurrency and that sort of thing.
Yeah. And what you have is a crypto career.
Yeah, crypto career.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Nobody knows what you do. When people say, what's he doing? I say, I
don't know. I would have one of those jobs, probably. I would have a job where my parents won't know what I do.
Yeah. I don't know what you do now.
No. And no.
When you were working in the vineyard, I knew what you did.
Yeah, it's easy, see? If I say I'm an electrician,
you know what you do.
You know what I do. Or yeah. At least you think you have a conception of what I do.
Yeah. It would be nice if you could tell what you do.
If I say I'm the head of marketing strategies for a data analysis company.
Yeah, I have no idea what you do.
You'd probably scream.
I probably don't even know what a data analysis company is.
They do data analysis.
Right. Okay, it's all clear to me now. Yeah, it'd be nice to have a job where people know what you do.
Yeah, that would be nice. So that's why I say I don't really know.
Yeah. So do you feel like...
I'll be a super athlete.
Or you'll be a super athlete. Yeah, that's another possibility. So here's a question in terms of career. Do you feel like that you wish you'd got a trade first? I mean, it wasn't an option because of COVID, but it was what you're talking
really,
about. It was what you're talking about when you were, 16 or whatever, sort of getting a trade.
Yeah, and it's also what I thought about in between. Like, when I knew I was not going back to Ulswa before I knew I was going to Trinity.
Because snow.
Because snow and other conflicting factors.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I also considered going straight into the trades. But then my brother kind of convinced me to go.
Yeah.
And I found a program that I kind of wanted to do. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't wish I'd done it before.
Okay. Because I think you can also get pigeonholed if, you're probably not going to go back to university at 20 or 22 or
that's
whatever. You can, but you might not. You're already earning money. You're already, all that's happening. But that's kind of always what we imagined, sort of where kids would have a trade first, and then if they want to go to university, they would. But it's not what happened for anybody.
I'll probably be living in your basement for a while.
You think so?
Yeah.
When? Is that cool? When will this happen?
We haven't really talked about this yet.
So our basement, like the one in this house.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Is that fun?
Okay, well, you could have 6 months.
6 months of what?
Basement dwelling. Bottom dwelling.
6 months becomes a year. A year becomes 5 years. Pretty soon you guys are in the basement. I'm living upstairs.
Yeah, so here's another question I think people would be interested in is like, did we have a period of time where our boys, you know, played video games in the basement? Yes, we did. And do they still do that occasionally?
One of them's probably doing it right
yes,
now.
Yes, no, he's not. He was just in the doorway. Well, yeah, there was some of that. But it was never to the point where we thought, is this seriously how they're going to spend their life? They would get together with their friends and they would play video games and whatnot. But we were never concerned that they were going to become those.
No, and hot take, video games actually helped me.
How did video games help you?
I don't play video games barely at all anymore.
Okay, how did they help you? That's so what I want to know.
I can say this from an objective standpoint. Yeah. Because if I was like still addicted to video games, not that I ever was, but if I was currently addicted to video games or I played all the time, it would not be very credible if I was defending them. But I could say honestly that video games did help me. I spent a lot of time, like probably too much time playing video games in high school. It did help me in a certain sense learn how to like interact with other people. Because it's a weird place on the internet and you meet a lot of people.
Yeah.
And that is dangerous sometimes, but sometimes it's also fun. In a weird way, it helped me, like, engage with, like, the quote-unquote outside world. Not that I didn't have any of that in my regular life.
Right.
But it was like I got a lot of, in a weird way, socialization from that.
Interesting.
Not that I would have needed that, to, like, on top of what I had. Yeah. From you guys and my friends. So,
you're kind of a social athlete.
Yeah, I'm also a real athlete too. And please don't ever disrespect the fact that I'm an athlete again.
Okay, sorry.
You guys can't see me right now, but just picture like LeBron James, but slightly different.
Yeah, and that's what you should all picture. I'll actually include a photo.
Yeah. Okay.
Like free advertising.
Photoshop it.
You know, there was times when it was irritating that you guys wanted to play computer games.
And sometimes it was irritating that you didn't want us to play video games.
I know, it was irritating.
And look at us now.
I know.
We're coworkers.
Look at us having a glass of wine, sitting in front of the fire. We're coworkers. We're peers.
Actually, no, we're not, because you don't make any money off of this podcast.
Right.
But, and for all those viewers out there, my mom doesn't make any money off this podcast. So know what you have.
It's a ministry.
Because she said it's a ministry. Me and my older brother try to monetize it all the time. And we're like, Mom, you could run ads. You could do all this stuff.
Yeah, I could do all this stuff.
And she refuses to.
I just diss you.
For you guys.
Yeah, it's true.
The fans. So shout out to the fans, I guess.
Shout out to the fans. Your fans, my fans. Mostly all the fans.
How long have they been requesting this episode?
Oh, time immemorial.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Liar.
I had somebody last year reach out to me and ask if I would, or maybe it was beginning like January or something, ask if I would do an episode with my kids. Now, it's a little bit hard to coordinate because our kids are in all different places. I still would like to do that. And I actually didn't sort of use most of her questions. I used a couple that I thought were timely and interesting. But she said it would be really cool if all your kids, you could do an episode where you ask them all these kinds of questions. And she sent me a list of questions, which was great, which I still would like to do. What's that?
Oh, with all the kids, right.
With all the kids. I think that would be really interesting I think that it's just a good place to just be honest about what worked, what didn't work, how did it all turn out, right? How did it all turn out? I have had other people on my podcast that are related to you, but I think doing the sibling thing would be really neat. So hopefully we get to do that in the future. Sorry.
What if we, would we even invite the homeless ones?
Are there homeless ones? I didn't know. Yeah.
They were the ones who didn't get enough socialization.
Ah, okay. And they're wearing gumboots on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just gumboots.
Just gumboots.
Nothing else.
Awkward. All right. So let's clink. And we can call
right,
it out.
And we're doing we're ending this off by doing a big giveaway. We're giving my mom.
I don't know anything about
Bonnie's,
the giveaway.
Bonnie's giving away $2,000.
No,
to everyone
not
who
that.
Comments, Abel is the best.
It's not actually happening.
That's Abel is the best.
That's .com.
ABELISTHABEST.
Abel is the best. I'm not giving away any money, but I might give away free digital copies of photos of Abel.
Pretty weird, Mom.
All right. Cheers. Thanks. Love you.